that long ago that I shared from Matthew the message of the disciples' prayer. You know, there's one thing we need to know how to do. We need to know how to pray. And there's one thing we need to be reminded about. We need to be reminded to pray. And so I wanted to. The other thing is that Luke's rendition of the Lord's Prayer is much shorter than Matthew's. And I like that because, it cuts to the essential nature of prayer. How important is prayer to us, and what do we pray about, and you know what's involved in our prayers? That's what we're looking at today. So Jesus was praying, and that's something, you know. Luke says that several times in his gospel. There's a few things. We talked about yesterday at the food program, talked about the spiritual battle that Jesus was always engaged in. There's seven times in the gospel of Luke where there's demons being cast out, dealt with, and it's mentioned that many times. So there's this battle that Jesus is engaged in. And the other part of that battle is that Jesus is also seen going off by himself and praying. And you know, we talked yesterday, I was sharing with the group about how intense the battle is, the spiritual battle around us. Most people in our age don't want to even think about it. They try to change what it's about. They say, oh, we got psychological problems, we need to take a pill. What we need is Jesus Christ. What we need is the power of God in our lives, because as Luther said, this world is, you know, with demons filled. There are these spirits and things here. So here, right after, right before actually one of those battles, we see Jesus with his disciples praying, all right? And his disciples ask him to teach them how to pray. So when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. One of the things, the first thing, and this is always important, when we call on the name of God, we need to really be serious about it. I mean, you don't want to get into a habit of casually calling on the name of God. The first thing he says, you know, God, holy, the word really means, you know, holy is your name. God is Yahweh Sabaoth. That's one of my favorite names in Hebrew for God. It's Yahweh is his covenant name. That's the name that he gave his people to remember him by. And Sabaoth is used first in Genesis when he created the hosts of heaven. He is Lord Almighty, Lord God of everything. And Jesus says, you know, when we call on his name, we need to remember who he is. He's the Lord mighty in battle. He's the deliverer. He's the one that takes his people and removes them from the power of their enemies. He's the one that gives strength and life. And everything that we have comes from our Father, right? And so when we call on the name of God, when we pray, we really want to be careful not to just do it out of habit, not to do it just to be saying something. Oh, it's that time, I have to pray. But to be very sincere in approaching Almighty God. To think of yourself, you know, we're on Wednesdays, we're going through the tabernacle and the structure of the early temple. And, you know, in order to get to the Holy of Holies where God is, you had to go past the altar of sacrifice for sin. You had to go by the altar of prayer. And then you're into where the Lord is. You know, it wasn't like you just casually, oh, yeah, hey, God, you know. It was something that we should take very seriously, that God is holy. He you know, he is different than we are. He is able to hear and able to respond. And he really looks at our hearts when we come to him. So first thing, obviously, Lord, your name is holy. Everything about you is holy. Second thing is the kingdom of God. the kingdom of God. You know, and I know that as a child I was taught, you know, when you want something, pray for it, right? You know, oh God, I want the red dump truck and I want it to, you know, have a little electric motor so it'll go, you know. And we pray, God, give me that dump truck. And then if you don't get it, how come God doesn't love me? That's not what we pray about. That's not the best thing to pray about. The first thing that again, you approach God, He is a holy God, He is a mighty God, and He has a kingdom. And His purpose for everything in this planet, everything that we see, all that we see on the news, and all humanity, His purpose is to, out of all of this, bring together those who love Him, those who will believe in Him, those who will submit to Him, and make the kingdom of God. His agenda isn't for us to become rich and famous in this world. His agenda isn't for us to have everything we want in this world. His agenda is for us to know Him, to call Him our Father, to call Him our God, to submit our lives to Him, and to be a part of this glorious, beautiful kingdom. So when we pray, kingdom, kingdom. When we looked at the book of Revelation, we talked about those who weren't kingdom-minded. They were called earth dwellers. The earth dwellers only care about what's out here. The only thing they talk to God about is what's out in the world. The only thing they care about is what's in their pocket or what's not in their pocket or what they're sitting behind as they're going down the road. The only thing they care about is earthly things. Jesus taught His disciples and were His disciples. He says, listen, when you come to your holy Father, first think about the kingdom. Ask Him about the kingdom. God, let your kingdom come. I don't know about you, but as you know, my time has grown in this world. I'm weary of this world. I'm saddened by this world, and I am more and more and more prepared for in all sincerity, God, Your kingdom come, that beautiful, glorious kingdom of God, that place of joy and peace in Your presence all the time. Oh, Father, let it come. Where righteousness will reign, where truth will be everywhere, and all of our hearts will be filled with joy and love always for all of us. The kingdom of God. We want it. We want it to come. Give us our daily bread. Everything that we have. Everything that we have is given to us. Paul said, as he was talking to the people in Athens, he says, in Him He gives us all men, life and breath and everything else. Everything we have comes from God. The raiment, you know, the clothes. John, our Chinese friend, hugged me the other day. This is my dad's jacket, you know. He doesn't need it anymore. And it's made out of cashmere. It's really soft. And he gave me a hug. He says, oh, yeah, that's a nice jacket. And I said, yeah, you know. I think about that because I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a, you know, not a guy given to that, you know, seeking that stuff. I would never have bought such a jacket. But look what God provided, a used cashmere green jacket. Wow, you know. But God gives us everything. God takes care of His children. He does. And you know, part of it is, you know, I prayed this morning. You know, back in the day, I didn't think about that so much. I didn't think about what God had given me and how God took care of me and how He watches over us. One of the wonderful things about God is He will give you what you need. He will give you what you need, but He won't give you everything you want. Praise God. He won't let us get ruined by the stuff around us, but He'll take care of us. He is a good Father. And this idea of praying to Him about daily food, about daily care. God, you know, I'm not supposed to be thinking about 20 years down the road or even next year. And this, by the way, this protects us, doesn't it? If you remember this, that when you start worrying about what's not there, And you start looking, you know, farther and farther ahead. Oh, I got enough for this year, and maybe I need next year. And maybe, you know, and the Word of God, the Spirit of God might say to you, do you have enough for today? If the answer is yes, then be quiet, heart. Be quiet, mind. Settle down. Take it easy. God is good, and He's the God of today, and He's the God of tomorrow, and He's the God of eternity. So if you have enough for today, peace. Praise God, right? So that's, you know, Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. And we know that, you know, with a holy, holy God. And I don't know that, you know, we talked about this on Wednesday, that to worship God, to honestly praise God, to approach God, you really have to remember who God is. You have to acknowledge or know in your heart how holy He is. That He is not like you and me. He doesn't excuse sin the way we might want to. He doesn't say, well, that's okay for them and not, you know what I'm saying. God is a holy God. And nothing unholy can stand in front of Him. You know, one of the things about the kingdom of God, you know, it's just that sin can't be there. It can't stand. It can't exist in God's presence. The bad thoughts, the bad words, the bad deeds, the things that human beings do. It's not that God's a tyrant wanting to crush people. It's just that, you know, you can't put cold water into hot oil. They don't mix. And you can't put sin around God. So we need forgiveness. We need grace. We need the cross of Jesus Christ. We need the righteousness of Christ in us. We need the sacrifice of our Lord. And we need to grow in that, to live in the righteousness of Christ, to have that new life in Christ that we talk about with the kids when we share the gospel. You know, He brought us, you know, don't give yourselves to sin, your members of your body, to wickedness, right? But consider yourself as one who's been brought from death to life and offer yourselves to God and offer the members of your body to righteousness. So, God, forgive us. Help us to do better. And then help us to understand that without Your forgiveness, we'd be dead. We would deserve the flames of hell. We would be worthless, right? Help me to be as forgiving to others as I want You to be with me. Let Your grace not only work in my life, but through my life. You know, one of the biggest problems I think people have, and you really need to listen to this part, and I've shared this with you before, you need to forgive others. You do more damage to yourself by holding anger, by holding jealousy, by holding things that were done years ago against people. You need to forgive. You heard, you know, I mentioned that, you know, one of the saddest stories I ever heard, I was talking to a person, not here, okay? I was talking to a person about, you know, something that happened to them way back, and that person, you know, I can't forgive. And I said, well, do you ever talk to this person? He said, no, they died. And here this person's harboring all this bad stuff in their heart over someone who isn't even around anymore. And it's like, you're not hurting them at all. You're only hurting yourself. The grace of God that we so much need and so much seek, we need it not only for ourselves, but for others. Forgive each other. You know, love covers a multitude of sin. Love each other. And, you know, so if there's someone that popped into your head while I'm saying this stuff, you know, even if you don't have the opportunity to get with them and say, but in your own heart, God, forgive them. Forgive them. In the name of Jesus, forgive them. So, teach me, Lord, to forgive. And then keep me out of temptation. Don't let me go. You know, and look at this world around us. It's all, you know, it's always been bad. It's never been good. I mean, you say, oh, the world's getting worse. Well, look at Noah's day. It was so bad that everybody's thoughts, every inclination of every thought all day long was always evil. This world isn't getting worse. It's just staying the same, you know? And it's, you know, sin is so prevalent around us. It's so easy to see and so easy to get enticed into. You know, we got the interweb, and I use it a lot, you know, and I do graphic arts and stuff, and I look for pictures. But you have to be so careful, right? Lord, you know, lead me not into temptation. Don't allow me, God, to you know, go where I shouldn't go or to type a word that might bring up the wrong things, right? Watching movies. You know, watching movies. What kind of stuff are they going to put in my mind, you know? Is it an R, PG? What, you know, be careful of that stuff. Father, don't let me put poison into my mind, into my heart, into my life, so that I end up, you know, thinking the way they think and doing things that they do. And then there's all the other stuff, you know, just to live in a country that's so wealthy and always telling us what you don't have, what you need to be whole. You know, greed is a terrible, terrible sin. Paul says it's idolatry. You know, keep me, God, from being a good American in the sense of trying to gather as much stuff as I can. You know, shop till I drop. No, don't do that. Don't do it, you know. Keep me. And I mean, you know, we could go on and on about all the temptation that's out there. So here it is, and these, you know, you say, wow, that's even shorter than Matthew. It's a very short prayer. It's very easy to remember those few things that he tells us, right? But it's so complete. You can expand on it. You can elaborate on it. You know, one of the things I always tell, you know, when you're doing this, when you're praying, it's not the words. I don't think the words, you know, one by one are important, but the ideas in the words. How holy is God? How much we want His kingdom. Not just going through the words, but seriously meditating on who God is and thinking about His kingdom and thinking about how God has provided for us and thinking about how much we need His forgiveness and thinking about how much we need to forgive others and thinking about how, Lord God, protect me from all that's out there. Lead me in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake, David said in Psalm 23. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at night and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him bread because he is a friend, yet because of a man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So he's talking about here boldness or persistence. He constantly, come on, man, you know, I need some bread. Leave me alone. I need some bread, man. Come on, give me some bread. You know, I got this guy. I got to take care of him. Leave me alone. I'm in bed. Come on. Oh, you saying Jim does it? No, he didn't. Yeah. And he's not saying here that God is someone who doesn't want to give us what we need, right? I want you to think about that. The idea, you know, if we aren't consistent in what we're asking for, right? If one day we want one thing and one day we want something else, then why would we expect to receive something, right? In other words, because our minds, you know, we change our minds like the clock changes time sometimes. You know, one day I think this is important, one day I think that's important. And if you think about it, when you've really been tested and really needed something, that didn't happen, right? I remember the summer I was praying before God, you know, really brought me where I needed to be spiritually. I was seeking God so hard because I saw the depth of how messed up I was. And I mean, I couldn't stop praying about that. I couldn't stop praying for God's help. And it was like, if I didn't have God's help, if I didn't get something from God, I was going to die. It was so important. And I was focused. And I mean, for months, just focused, 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 focused. When we're sincere about something, when it's a real need, right, that we have, we'll be consistent. We'll ask for it over and over, and we'll be persistent in it. We'll be persistent in asking God for what we need. I just think that, you know, the idea of persistent prayer is very important. To examine your heart and to ask, you know, sometimes, again, there's worldly stuff that we need. There's food. Just go. If things like that are really a need, to make it a focus. I can say that when I have focused on something and called on the name of the Lord with sincerity, and again, focus in the sense of understanding that it's spiritual, understanding that it's a real need. You know, in other words, this is something that God would approve of. You know, not a Ferrari. Okay, but something that God would approve of, and then sought it, I've always received an answer. I've always received an answer. Because you have, now you're praying within His will, you're praying within His God, and focused, persistent, persistent prayer. When there's things in your life that are really troubling you, be persistent in calling on your Father. Be persistent in making it known. Just call on Him and say, Father, this really is hurting me. This really is troubling me. Help me, mighty God, and keep it. Keep it until you see the answer. And I'm telling you, you'll see answers. Persistent prayer. So Jesus says that. He says, you know, that we need to be persistent in prayer, an inconsistent prayer. James says it's like a wave that rises and falls. He says, a double-minded man, today I want this, tomorrow I want that. He says those kinds of prayers just, you know, why? Because they're not real. If I want something now and I don't want it later, it's not a real thing, is it? It just shows I'm confused. God doesn't want to support our confusion. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be His, you know. He wants us to be okay. So persistence. And then He says, so I say to you, ask. And it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would you give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, you give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Here Jesus makes it very clear the kind of focused prayers that He's looking for, right? But he says, you know, ask, and the word is in the Greek, it's a present active indicative. Everybody go, ooh. Which means continue asking. Keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking. In other words, persistence again. You know, and so it's this present action. I am calling on the name of the Lord. I am seeking God. I am asking Almighty God for your help, right? And then the second part is future. Right? So I'm in the present, I'm seeking, I'm asking, I'm knocking, right? In the future, I'm receiving. I'm finding it's being open. Okay? So present, active, seeking, asking, knocking, future, receiving, finding, opening. That's prayer. And then he says, now, folks, you, sinners, especially, but you got, you know, human beings, right? And what he's saying is even people who don't walk with God, you know, like you ask most people, you say, you know, are you righteous? Are you good enough to be with God? He said, well, I take care of my family. I'm an okay neighbor. You know, I haven't met many of those, but, you know, I take care of my family. I'm a good neighbor. I work hard. And therefore, I'm righteous. And that's what he says, you know, most people will take care of their family. You know, and if your kid asks you for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. Or if he asks you for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. I don't know where you'd find one, but in Michigan, in this cold. But, you know, he's saying, you know how to give what your kids need. How much more will your Father give you? And then what does he say? The Holy Spirit. I got to tell you, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for over 30 years, sincerely, and I constantly ask, seek, knock, Father, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please, mighty God, let me be filled with your power, with your grace, with your strength. And please, Almighty God, those who gather with us to you know, gather in this church, I pray that you will fill us with your Spirit. Give us your grace. Give us your love, your power, Almighty God, to live our lives in a way in accordance to you, right? That's a real important part of our prayer life. It should be about asking God to fill us with His Spirit. That's the seal, you know, of our adoption. That's the thing that says you belong to God. It's the seal of the kingdom of God. It says you belong to the kingdom of heaven It's the thing that gives us the fruit of the Spirit, you know, joy and peace and patience and, you know, self-control and all the things. We talk about, you know, the tongue and how unruly the tongue is, and talk about, you know, things we think about or things that we look at that we shouldn't look at. And to me, all of that can be summed up in one thing. I need the Holy Spirit. Because when I don't have the Spirit, when I'm not filled with the Spirit, my tongue might wander, my eyes might wander, my mind might wander, my actions might wander away from the will and truth and power of God. But if I'm in the Spirit of God, if I'm under the power of God, oh my, my language changes, my thinking changes, my actions change. So when he says, you know, seek, knock, and ask, be seeking, be knocking, be asking, you're going to receive. You're going to find. It's going to be open to you. I believe anybody that prays seriously to God, that God would fill them or give them the Spirit of Christ, they will have it. That they will have it. And it'll be in their lives. And it makes you stronger. It makes the church stronger. It makes us more effective in everything that we do. Right? So this is Jesus' words about prayer. His words about prayer. Let us pray like disciples. Let us pray like disciples. Let's be persistent. We have the content that Jesus gave us. Let us be persistent in prayer. Not, you know, and I always appreciate doing these sermons because I've been looking at this for over a week, right? And guess what I've been doing all week? You know, I've been praying. It's like, yeah, amen, God. I should be more persistent in prayer. I should be, you know, seeking. I should be asking. I should be knocking. I should be calling on the Lord, because that's the source of my strength. That's the source of my you know, righteousness. That's the source of everything. It comes from God. It comes from Him. So I have to seek Him. I have to knock. I have to be persistent. I have to be real with Him. You know, let's do that. Let's seek God with our heart, mind, soul, strength, so we can indeed be His people. Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, and we do bow before You, Yahweh Sabaoth, King of kings and Lord of lords, and we ask, God, for Your Holy Spirit and grace to be upon us. We pray, Father, that You will answer our prayers so openly that when we pray in private, others will see. Indeed, there's a God who hears, a God who sees, a God who responds, that we will, Lord, be seeking You for Your Holy Spirit. Be thinking about Your holiness, Your righteousness, Your kingdom. Be thanking You for the good that You have done for us, Almighty God, how You provide for us every day what we need. Be forgiving, O Lord, our neighbors, our friends, and being forgiven, not walking around feeling ashamed or guilty, but knowing that the power of the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ, is enough to make us right in Your eyes. Keeping us, Almighty God, from temptations in this world that surround us like an army ready to attack. We have all the defense we need. If our Heavenly Father is in us and with us, we can withstand the torrent. We thank You, Almighty God, for all that You do, for You do more than we can imagine and more than we ask. For You are indeed better than we, and You do more than we can even think of. Thank You, Almighty God. Thank You, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.